Invasion of Gaza, gone nutso. Is this just about Hamas or the final solution in the 75-year ethnic cleansing operation by the U.S. and Israel? Join me as I welcome VT editor Dr. Kevin Barrett and special guest American evangelical Christian Zionist Dr. Richard Swire. I will referee their debate on who's right and who's wrong right here, right now on
VT Radio. Let's go. With host Johnny Punish.
And we're back on VT Radio with VT's senior editor, Dr. Kevin Barrett, and VT contributor, Dr. Rich Swire. Welcome, gentlemen. Let's get right on it. We're going to talk about the specifics of the Gaza war. We're going to talk about Hamas. We want to get into a debate about those things. But first, the original thing I want to talk about is anti-Semitism. Dr. Swire has labeled VT anti-Semitic. I'd like him to make his case about that right now, and so we can get on that issue right away and see what happens there. Dr. Swire, go ahead and make your case as to why you believe VT is anti-Semitic.
No, I don't believe it is.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay,
that was a short case.
I never wrote that. Where did you find that? Where did you get that idea?
First of all,
let me say this. It's an honor that you allow me to be a contributor to VT Magazine. I really appreciate that.
Okay.
And I read your bio, Johnny. Amazing bio. By the way, you and I are Elvis fans. So
that's right.
Two Elvis fans cannot disagree. But look, my family, and I read your family's bio. You know, your dad's Italian, your mother's Arab, and my father actually was born in Kiev. My grandfather was going to medical school in Kiev. He and his wife carried my father to birth. My grandfather moved to Moscow to start a medical practice. And of course, when you go to Moscow, when you go to Russia, you had to become a part of the Tsar's army, and he was a healthy adult male, so he became a medical officer. And then, of course, October 1917 came about, the Bolshevik Revolution, and then November of 1917 came about, and they executed the Tsar Nicholas II and his entire family. And they began to hunt down Tsarist officers and their families to execute them. Mm-hmm. My grandfather escaped with my father, his wife, a horse, and a cow, and emigrated, as your parents did, to America. So God bless you. I am not saying VT is anti-Semitic. I think it is titled. That's the reason I'm part of it, and I thank you again. Is it says it's a matter of discourse. You have two opposing views of what's happening. Look, I'm, as a former soldier for 23 years, doctor, I'm not sure if you served in the military, but I was a soldier for 23 years, okay? I've seen this before. When I was in Vietnam, I was with the 101st Airborne Division. My battalion took the city of Hue, okay? We went in, the Marines actually went in and cleared the city. We went in afterwards. We found a mass grave of 5,000 men, women, and children with their hands tied behind their back with barbed wire and shot in the back of the head by the North Vietnamese Army and the Viet Cong. So I have seen this before. This is not good. You don't kill civilians. You don't butcher civilians. You don't decapitate babies. You don't rape babies. You don't put a baby in an oven and turn the oven on. You don't burn innocent families alive. So that's my position. You want to kill soldiers to soldier? Fine. Kill soldier to soldier. You want to invade? That's your choice. okay? But you go after the soldiers. You leave the civilians alone. Now, there may be times when there's collateral damage, but that should be the exception, not the rule. That's my personal position.
Okay.
Okay? I want to also say something very important. I was stationed in Germany in 1970-1973. There were two organizations in Germany at that time. One was called the Biedermeierhof Gang, and I'm sure Dr. Kevin understands who they are. The Biedermeierhof Gang, also known as the Red Brigade. I was also there when Black September attacked the Olympic Village and killed 18 innocent Israeli athletes and one German police officer. Matter of fact, my unit, the 1st Infantry, was called in to provide additional security after that. One of the things that was very interesting is the Biedermeierhof Gang and Black September were trained by the same group, P.I.J. P.I.J. trained both of them. It was Arab Muslims who trained both of them in the Middle East. All right? One was communist. One was Islamic. That's the issue. They're one and the same. Right now we have what I call a red green rainbow alliance happening. You're seeing the communists coming out for this massacre. You're seeing the Islamists come out for this massacre. And you're seeing, amazingly, homosexuals coming out for this in support of this massacre, and ISIS threw them off the tops of rooftops. So I'll stop right there and let you all talk a little bit.
Okay, Dr. Kevin, you got something to say about that?
Yeah. Well, I thought the topic of debate was going to be about anti-Semitism. And I didn't hear anything at all about that. I heard this long, rambling biography. And then I heard some really bizarre statements about, oh, you don't roast babies in ovens and things like that. I assume you're referring to that insane, disgusting Israeli propaganda stories that were made up about falsely accusing, blood libeling the noble anti-terrorist group Hamas with supposedly attacking babies, which they never did. It was absolutely clear to everyone who was watching this closely as Al-Aqsa Storm Operation was unfolding. I was watching in real time cameras being on the people, the Hamas people who were going into occupied Palestine. And it was absolutely clear from what they were saying, from what their commanders were saying, from what their commanders have said ever since, and from the general behavior of Hamas through most of its existence, that Hamas was targeting military Israeli installations. The orders were to attack the military installations, disable the military installations that are keeping the people of Gaza in the world's biggest concentration camp and death camp, disable those installations, capture as many Israeli soldiers as possible to use for a prisoner swap. That was the prime directive of this operation, was to capture Israeli soldiers and use them to get Palestinian prisoners freed. However, this operation was so successful that I don't think they imagined that they were going to succeed in completely disabling all of the Zionist entities defenders along that perimeter. So they were able to bring out bulldozers and knock down the concentration camp wall in a number of places. It was the world's biggest concentration camp breakout since the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. It's like if the inmates in Auschwitz had managed to break out and try to, you know, go after their German military tormentors. So that's what happened. And casualty figures from the Israelis were apparently originally grossly exaggerated. The Israelis so far have provided the names and identification of, I think, something like 700 Israelis who died. Of those, half of them are military, and the other 350 or so are indeed civilians, but there are no babies. The story of this disgusting lie that was made up that should totally discredit all Israeli propaganda for all of eternity of this attacking babies came from this psychotic individual who's been implicated in genocidal pogroms against innocent Palestinian civilians. One guy. And guess what? The Israeli government has dropped that claim. They dropped that claim like a hot potato, like the day after it was made. But idiots who rely on the American media for their information, perhaps not understanding that the American media is completely owned and operated by Jewish Americans who have a very strong partisan identification with the state of Israel, haven't been fully informed about this. As far as the alleged like 1,200-1,300 deaths that the Israelis were trumpeting, claiming they were civilians, that's just not true. So far, they've shown us 350 military people killed by Hamas, about the same number of civilians who, it turns out, were killed by Israelis, not by Hamas. The vast majority of Israeli civilians who were killed were adults, number one. There are virtually no children killed at all. And those adults, as it turns out, if you look at the pictures of the carnage, and those pictures were shown by Israel to the whole world, claiming this is what Hamas did. Look at those pictures, Dr. Swear. Are you crazy enough to think that small arms fire from Hamas utterly devastated these whole buildings? These Kibbutz buildings were destroyed by tank shells. Just let me finish, and then you can give your case. Just let me finish, and then you can give your case. Those pictures make it absolutely clear that the... I'm sorry. Okay, do I have to leave?
And may the God of Abraham shed his blessings upon you.
Cut his mic so I can finish my point, please.
Wait a minute. Do you know who created Gaza?
Cut his mic.
Who created Gaza?
Cut his mic. I'll finish what I was saying, and then he can respond to me. Okay. Sorry, Dr. Swire, your mic has been cut, and we'll bring you back after I'm done, and you can refute what I'm saying.
Out of time, Dr. Swire.
So if you simply look at the pictures of the kibbutz that was utterly devastated by heavy artillery fire and tank shells and Israeli rocket grenade bombs, you can see that Hamas, which was never armed with anything more than light guns, could possibly have done this. And in fact, there are multiple eyewitness confirmations from Israeli hostages who were being held hostage during the entire time, who tell us that they were treated very kindly and graciously and hospitably by their Hamas captors, and that what ended up happening was that the Israeli military came in and fired tank shells into these buildings, killing dozens of people, both the hostages and the people who were holding those prisoners. So we had during Al-Aqsa Storm was a military operation targeting the Israeli military. They were willing to take some civilian hostages too, of course, and the Israeli military, following its doctrine of killing both the hostages and the hostage takers in order to prevent their enemies from having these prisoners that they could use as a bargaining chip, that are, you know, politically useful tool. So the Israelis have this Hannibal doctrine that says that they need to use heavy artillery to take out both hostages and hostage takers in these situations. And that's exactly what they did. Some of it was crossfired. Some of it was unintentional. But of those 350 or so Israeli, essentially all adults, civilians who were killed that day, virtually all of them, it is now understood by Jewish sources Max Blumenthal, and the interviews given by the Israeli Jewish hostages after their release, it's completely clear that the vast majority of the civilians killed were indeed killed by the Israeli Defense Forces themselves. And all you have to do is look at the pictures, look at the damage, the very pictures that Israel showed you to claim that, oh, terrible, Hamas did these things. It's obviously impossible that Hamas's light weapons could have done that. So what we had here was a very successful military operation by Hamas, and a massacre of civilians by the state of Israel. And they've been trying to cover this up, and they've been very successful because they own the world's media. They own the Western media anyway, and it serves as their propaganda apparatus. And that's why they've managed to brainwash people like you, Dr. Swire, who just aren't paying attention and have never really studied the history of this conflict from all of the different angles that are available.
Okay, now before we continue, gentlemen, I just want to make it clear that you both have time to speak. I'm here to referee and make sure that we all have space. Dr. Swire, you have your space. But please don't let me forced me to shut off the mics, guys, so you guys can communicate. But you all have plenty of time to talk. I want to ask Dr. Swire a question, why he does not understand or support Hamas, why he's anti-Hamas, or why he thinks Hamas should be wiped off the planet. I'd like him to explain that position. Go ahead, Dr. Swire. Let me make sure I get your mic on. Hold on one second. Go ahead.
Yeah, listen. Well, let me first say I appreciate the information that is being fed to Dr. Kevin. My point is, do you realize who created Gaza? Gaza was created by Ariel Sharon, the prime minister of Israel. He was, as a matter of fact, he was part of the Likud party. Every time there was a transfer of land for peace by the Israeli government, it was through the Likud party. So it was Ariel Sharon who created and gave Gaza to the Arabs in exchange for peace. That's simple. It was just like they gave the Sinai back to the Egyptians after the war, right 4 days after Israel was declared a nation and all those Arab nations attacked Israel and Israel defeated them handily. They gave back the Sinai, which had oil. They could have kept the oil, you know. Anyway, so let me go back. Gaza was created by the Likud party, by Ariel Sharon, by the Israeli government in a land for peace. They had total control. The Arab people in Gaza had total control. As a matter of fact, if you want to talk about a mass exodus, forced exodus, Ariel Sharon had to send in the IDF to remove all the Jews. You want to talk about ethnic cleansing? He sent in the IDF and removed all the Jews from Gaza, all of them. They've been there for, their families have been there for decades and decades, centuries actually. They were farmers, ordinary farmers. He removed them forcibly. He turned them over, he turned all that land and everything in it. There were millions of dollars, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of wonderful things in Gaza that the people of Gaza could have taken advantage of. Farms, greenhouses, and so on. What did they do? They elected to run their government Hamas. What has Hamas done for the Arabs in Gaza? Nothing. Done nothing for the people.
What's actually your point? Your point is they don't. I don't understand the point. The point is the Hamas doesn't deserve to live.
Is that they are using the people of Gaza? Look, let me just give you one example, and maybe the doctor can talk about it. But let's take the example of water pipes. They brought in a bunch of water pipes. Instead of using the water pipes to irrigate the fields and create water and fresh water for the citizens of Gaza, what did they do? They turned them into rockets. Guess who are the millionaires and billionaires in Gaza? It's not the Gazan people. It's not the people that live in Gaza. It's Hamas. They are millionaires, multi-millionaires. Now, if I was that, and they control everything, by the way, they control the fuel, they control the water, they control the money coming in through all these different NGOs. As a matter of fact, the money that we give, taxpayers from America give, is being controlled by not the Gazan people, and it's not going to the Gazan people, it's going to fund Hamas and to buy weapons. And why would you want to buy weapons when you traded land for peace? Do they really want peace? No, they don't want peace. Why? Why doesn't Hamas want peace? Because they were birthed by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood has never wanted peace with Israel. Ever. It's called fitna. I'm sure the doctor Kevin knows the word fitna.
You're totally fitna. You're misusing fitna. It and showing your ignorance.
Fitna. I'm not into name calling, doctor. I'm into facts. Okay.
Do you want me to explain fitna for you or not?
But here's the issue.
Yes, not.
Fitna for a Muslim, for an Islamist, for a radical Islamist, for Hamas, for Hezbollah, for Iran, fitna, which is resistance to Islam, is worse than the slaughter. So they slaughter. They slaughter to expand Islam. They've been doing that for thousands of years. Look, Muhammad did that. He picked up the sword. That's how he started his religion. He didn't start it like Jesus Christ.
This is supposed to be like explaining Jesus what's wrong with Hamas? What's your
Muhammad
point? This is a debate. You're supposed to be making one single point. You're not supposed to just ramble around spewing out random Zionist propaganda.
No, I'm not rambling. I'm giving you the history lesson of how this all started. Hamas is part of the Mohammedan ideology of you kill anything that disagrees with you. Anybody and anything that disagrees with you, you kill them. It doesn't matter. It's not just a Jew. They didn't just kill Jews in Israel. They killed their own Muslims. There was an ambulance driver who was at the concert that they floated into and started massacring people, innocent people. There was a Muslim ambulance driver who was killed. A Muslim.
Yeah, so they were all killed by the IDF, heavy artillery tank shells and overwhelming.
They were killed by Hamas, doctor.
Okay, so can I repeat some question of this like bizarre Islamophobic nonsense?
You want to ask a question? Go ahead.
Kevin, go ahead and counter what he said about all the issues about Hamas.
It's hard to counter. Like if I said, all Christians drink the blood of Jewish babies. To be a Christian, what you have to do is when you're 4 years old, they have a ceremony and you cut the windpipe of a Jewish baby, hold it up, and the 4-year-old Christian guzzles the blood. That's called baptism. And also, did you know that Christians they rape nuns? Like the initiation ceremony for an adult Christian is that you line up a bunch of nuns and then you anally rape them. Okay, how do you feel about that? Like, if I just make up ridiculous stuff about Christianity like that and say it, I mean, it should be borderline illegal, frankly. And that's what you're doing with Islam. That's everything is the most absurd, ridiculous lie. Cut his mic.
Wow.
Okay.
Please let him talk.
No. Yeah. I understand.
I don't really want to try to get into a long debate about Islam. I speak Arabic. I've read the Quran 70 or 80 times in Arabic aloud from start to finish. I have a PhD related to Islamic studies. And I can tell you that your deranged babbling about Islam is not even worth responding to. So instead, I'll try to talk about Hamas. Hamas follows the Islamic just war ethic. The Quran says that God does not love aggressors. So the basis of all Islamic just war ethics, or we might call it jihad theory, the word jihad simply means struggle or effort, and the lesser jihad, the greater jihad, is the struggle to be a better person. And the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community, and that sometimes happens through military means, as it did when the first Muslim community defended itself against the polytheistic Meccan elite. So the aggression is the whole issue. God does not love aggressors. Now, that's not only the basis for Islamic just war theory, but that's also the basis for Christian just war theory as well, and for secular international law and its just war theory. So I'm here to tell you that Hamas is waging a just war of defense against illegal, immoral, unethical aggression by the Zionist movement. The Zionist movement did something that is pretty unprecedented in history. There have been plenty of bloody, vicious invasions, genocides, and ethnic cleansings throughout history. But never before in history has a group crossed the seas, gone thousands of miles to invade, occupy, mass murder, and expel another group of people like that, citing their a religious directive. And this movement's ultimate objective, as they make clear, is to destroy Islam's greatest and most important and oldest architectural monument, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the monument to Islamic spirituality and monotheistic ecumenicism, and put up a blood sacrifice temple. So to get this done, of course, that's the religious, fanatical, satanic, messianic millenarian Zionists who want to do that. The atheists were actually the dominant faction in the creation of the State of Israel. And those atheists basically believed that we don't want to wait for the Messiah like our religion teaches us to. The Jewish religion says that when the Messiah comes, the lion will lie down with the lamb, God will pick up the Jews and put them down over in the Holy Land, and they won't have to lift a finger, and they certainly won't have to hurt anybody. But the atheists and Satanists said, we're tired of waiting for the Messiah. We're going to be our own Messiah. And the only way to do that is to use Machiavellian means to accomplish it, meaning lying and killing. And that's all the Zionists have ever been doing, is lying and killing. They committed the worst outbreak of terrorism in modern history to create Israel. And the book I would refer you to, Dr. Swire, that you really need to read carefully is A State of Terror, How Terrorism Created Modern Israel, by Thomas Suarez, who's a very good scholar. The Zionists were so intoxicated by their terrorism, which is very similar to the terrorism you referred to that impacted your family. That, of course, as I'm sure you know, the communist movement in Russia was Jewish. These were atheist Jews, just like the Zionists. There were two groups of atheist Jews at that time, communists and Zionists. Both of them were in love with terrorism. And so they killed tens of millions of people in former, Russia, Soviet Union, the Ukraine. And then they came to Palestine, a slightly different group of ex-Jewish atheists, inspired by a psychotic spin on a Jewish messianic millenarian ideology, namely Zionism in this case. They came to Palestine to slaughter and expel the people there. That's called aggression. Just war theory says that if you cross the oceans to invade, occupy, ethnically cleanse a land where there are people all living there, and you terrorize them and mass murder them, as especially happened in 1948 with the Nakba, or the Palestinian Holocaust, and in order to terrorize the survivors into fleeing, and there you talk about raping babies, they raped them with bayonets. The Zionists went into village after village and killed everybody alive in each village, Christians and Muslims both, and they bayoneted babies, they raped women with bayonets. That's how they killed these people. They killed thousands and thousands of innocent civilians. That's how Israel was created in 1948. And then they went around with sound trucks blasting out on their megaphones to all the other villages, this is what we've done, and witnesses have seen it, and get out now, and then start firing at them. And so they cleared out the land of Palestine.
You don't need a witness.
Well over 100,000 people died. As they were fleeing, being strafed from the air by Israeli military aircraft. This was the Palestinian Holocaust. And since that time, when the Zionists, the atheists, along with their psychotic millenarian people who want to build a blood sacrifice temple, this satanic movement has been committing aggression against the peaceful people of Palestine ever since. The people of Palestine did exactly what you would eventually have to do if your community were targeted in this situation. They decided to defend themselves, and they've been defending themselves ever since. Hamas is just one of well over a dozen resistance groups that represent not only the virtually unanimous will of the Palestinian people, but also the virtually unanimous will of the people of the region I live in, the Muslim East North Africa or MENA region. I'm in Morocco, and everybody here supports Hamas and the rest of the Palestinian resistance. Everybody, from the bottom to the top. The king won't say it because at the very top levels of government, they're playing a real politic game where they can't be honest about this. Yeah. But he and everybody else here knows what's going on. They know that there's a genocide going on in Palestine. As we speak right now, Dr. Swire, that you are supporting the people who have blown up these houses, and there are more than 1,000 little children under the rubble of those houses dying slowly, and you're the one who did it with your tax money going to the Zionists to buy them bombs so blow up those houses and crush those little children. And you're sitting here laughing right now. You're laughing because those little children are dying under tons and tons of concrete rubble that you paid for as part of a genocide that's been going on since 1948. You were a war criminal. You're too stupid, though, to be executed. You need to be put on trial, and you should plead stupidity and maybe a certain amount of leeway and leniency should be granted to you as you get a chance to sit down and read some of the material that you have missed, because you've really missed it. You've put yourself on the side of Satan. You are one of Satan's minions right now, Dr. Swire. You are supporting the people crushing little babies to death, and you are supporting the lies of these liars who make up these ridiculous stories about the noble self-defense anti-terrorist group Hamas that is standing up against one of the worst genocides in the history of humanity.
All right. Well, let me ask you for that diatribe. Look, you do what everyone like you does. It's called projection. You accuse others of what you are actually doing.
No, that's what they do. There's 8,000 Palestinians in Gaza that have been murdered, 4,000 children. What are you talking about? You said you watched the body cameras.
I'm guessing you watched the selected ones. But you know where they got those body cameras?
You got the selected.
They got them from Afghanistan. They got them. Those are U.S. body cameras. And you know what? They were proud to wear those body cameras and show how they were shooting innocent people, how they were burning people, innocents, beheading them, beheading babies,
nonsense.
Burning babies. Again, it's not nonsense, doctor.
It's a lie.
Israel is disgusting. What are you talking about, Dr. Swire?
Have you ever been, by the way, have you ever been to Israel?
In the United States said that was wrong.
No, I
think they apologized on CNN.
Not treat me very well.
Come on, man.
At least. If I was lucky, I would
want to change the subject here real quick.
I have been to Israel.
I'm sure you have.
Okay. I have been to Israel. It was the most wonderful experience I ever had. And let me explain why. Every place I went, and I went, we landed in Tel Aviv, went up the entire Mediterranean coast, all across the northern border with Lebanon, with Hezbollah pointing rockets at us, all the way down the Jordan River and back into Jerusalem. You know what I saw every place? Jews, Muslims, and Christians, side by side, living together in peace.
Yeah, right.
Bethlehem, one of the most holiest of holy sites, because that was the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Guess who controls Bethlehem? It's a Muslim mayor and a Muslim city council. My goodness. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's wonderful. And you know what? They let us in to see the holy site. They let Christians in.
So you saw a Potemkin village.
Well, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I keep sitting here wondering after you made that passionate but wrong I don't know what you use. It's when you start calling people names, I find that's very unhuman, inhuman.
How do you feel about those thousand children under the rubble? How do you feel about them?
Well, see,
you laugh at them.
What's under the rubble? You know what's under the rubble in Gaza right now? What's under the rubble are Hamas terrorists.
Okay.
And you know why they're sitting in schoolhouses? You know why they've shot that? They've bombed schoolhouses and mosques? Because that's where Hamas puts their heads.
No, they're leveling the entire place. Look at the pictures. Hamas, they're leveling everything.
I am looking at the pictures. Hamas hides their headquarters. They put their soldiers in schoolyards, in mosques, in all of these places.
No, Israel, wrong. There are not concentrations of soldiers in those places.
Israel is very careful about making sure that collateral damage does not happen.
Oh,
why?
Goodness.
Because there are people like you. No, really. There are people like you that are ready to jump on them at a moment's notice. So they are extremely, extremely cautious.
Dr. Swear, they've killed more civilians. They've killed more civilians in 2 weeks than the Russians did in the entire war with Ukraine.
They're killing Hamas.
Hamas is in tunnels. They haven't killed any Hamas, hardly.
Doctor, for 2 weeks they've been asking the people, they're asking the normal people of Gaza, please leave because we're coming after Hamas.
There's nowhere to go.
They've dropped leaflets. They've called them. They put it on social media. And you know what? You know who kept those people in Gaza? Hamas. They blocked the escape routes. You know why? Because they want to use them as human shields. They want to use them as human shields.
Dr. Swear, that's all complete nonsense. Hamas is... Let me explain to you something, and maybe the Israelis know this. Have you heard of tunnels? Have you heard about the tunnels, by the way? You know about the tunnels?
The
tunnels are beneath the buildings. The Zionists cannot bomb the tunnels. They're bombing houses, schools, hospitals, mosques, and churches. They're targeting ambulances. They're targeting groups of people camping out.
Hamas
has nothing to do with Hamas. They don't even know where Hamas is, but Hamas is in tunnels.
Hamas is
in tunnels. They can mask you get your bombs are collapsing buildings on children.
You go after the enemy, doctor.
Yeah, they should go into the tunnels. Bring your troops into Gaza and go into the tunnels if you want to go after Hamas. Bombing buildings touch Hamas.
And there's a ground
so, war.
They're
too cowardly to go into those tunnels. So all they do is murder civilians.
They
murdered 9,000 civilians so far.
All right, the bottom line is
9,000 civilians, almost half children.
Israel is either going to kill or arrest and imprison every member of Hamas and free.
So is that 2.4 million
people who live in Gaza? That's the end objective.
Everybody in this region, Palestinian or not, loves Hamas.
Well, the objective
of Israel, replace Hamas with something even stronger.
The objective of Israel is peace. The objective of Israel is to kill or capture every member of Hamas, which is probably 5% at most of the people who live in Gaza. They're going to kill every one of them or capture them and put them in prison forever.
And Dr. Swear, don't you realize, though, that there are dozens of resistance organizations? All of them are devoted to military resistance against Zionist genocide. The Zionists are perpetrating genocide every day, and they were long before this wonderfully successful Al-Aqsa Storm operation, which will go down in history as one of the great military victories of a people defending itself against genocide. And I predict that the Zionists will be too cowardly to do their ground invasion on a large scale and go down into those tunnels. Hamas is in tunnels that are totally bomb-proof. None of these bombs the Zionists have dropped have even put a scratch on Hamas. All the Zionists have done is slaughter 9,000 civilians. By some estimates, they may get some kind of fighting-age person 1 in 100 times, but more than 65% of the people they've killed have been either women, children, or very old people. And they're doing this as collective punishment.
I don't think that matters.
The people of Gaza for supporting Hamas, which they do, by the way. As you probably know, in the last elections across Palestine, Hamas won a landslide victory with nearly 70% of the vote, not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank. Hamas represents the Palestinians. And if Hamas could get voted on in this MENA region where I live with about 2 billion people, they would win about 2-0 right now. And guess what? If Israel somehow managed to even put a scratch on Hamas, which they won't, but if they did, let's just say they somehow managed to eliminate Hamas, but they won't because they're pussies, they're cowards, they're afraid to go into those tunnels. They're very good at murdering children. The Zionists intentionally murder children with sniper rifles. They shoot them in the guts and watch them die. Chris Hedges wrote a great article where he witnessed time after time after time Israeli soldiers barking out of her bullhorns, obscene insults, your mother's blank, and the little children come running out to throw rocks, boom, 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 shoot them in the guts, murder them. The Zionists shoot children for sport. They do this every day. They shoot children for sport. And now they're bombing schools and bombing hospitals and bombing houses and bombing apartments and burying hundreds and thousands of children beneath the rubble so they can slowly die. And you're laughing about it, and you're supporting it. And you think, oh, they're just going to go after Hamas. Well, guess what? They are cowards and pussies, and they wouldn't go into those Hamas tunnels if you paid them $1 million. These Jewish Zionist scum are the world's scumbaggest, worst scumbags in history, and they will never have the courage to go into those tunnels and try to go after Hamas. So what's going to happen here, Dr. Swire, is that the entire region here, and much of the world even outside the region, is so horrified by the genocidal crimes of the Zionists that they are toast one way or another, whether world public opinion ends up leading to Turkey and Russia together breaking the blockade of Gaza and destroying the Zion, breaking their will, or whether BDS takes off, or whether it ends up being a military victory. And God forbid that we're going to have to find a way to get a couple of nuclear weapons into Israel. But whatever it is, Israel is toast. These satanic, slimebag, baby-killing Jewish cretins that have brainwashed people like you because they're co-religionists, they're atheist co-religionists who own the media because they own the banking system and they bought up the entire media, turned it into a propaganda system going straight for the lizard brain of people like you who are really, frankly, not very bright. I don't know where you got a doctorate, doctor, but wherever it is, you should sue them for having given it to you. But in any case, Israel is toast. The Zionist movement is toast. Al-Aqsa Storm will go down in history as the greatest military operation by a people opposing their own genocide in human history.
The way you talk.
Now, Swire, Rich, let me ask you a question.
Oh, by the way,
why do you care? You're an American.
I'm very thankful,
Rich,
that we have American soldiers,
Rich,
as well as American radar.
Rich, I'm the moderator. I'm not listening to you. Talk to me, please. Tunnels,
and American soldiers, along with IDF soldiers.
American soldiers are so overweight, they couldn't go into those tunnels if they tried.
Are going in.
They're obese. American soldiers weigh 300 pounds now, Dr. Swire.
Thank you so much. But let me just finish here,
Rich,
please.
Why do you care about Israel? What is it you want?
They're going into the tunnels.
Does your religion tell you that the rapture and all this nonsense?
They're doing it because it is important, because those tunnels are being used by Hamas to create terror. They're being used by Hamas to create, instead of using the money to build those terrors, those tunnels to help the people of Gaza, they spent it on arms, creating chaos, stealing an election like we had in 2020 here in America. That's what Hamas does. They steal the election.
That's the first thing you said that I agree is possible.
That's a stolen election. That's truly a stolen election.
Yeah, 2020 might have been. You could be right.
It's like in Cuba, you know, Castro always got 70% of the vote. Gee whiz, Venezuela. You know how much?
Yeah, but that's not. Can I quickly explain why that's not true with Gaza?
China, you know, the Chinese, they keep getting 70% of the vote.
But stop, Dr. Swear. Let me explain quickly.
Hamas's
opponents ran the election. Hamas's opponents, the Palestinian Authority, ran that election.
Yeah,
bigger than the results would indicate.
The end game is very simple. The end game is very simple. Israel is going to win. Israel is going to kill or capture all of the Hamas terrorists. They're going to either send them to prison, or they're going to try them for the genocide that they created, Hamas created, not the Israelis. Who attacked? It wasn't Israel who attacked.
Israel attacks every day. They kill Palestinians every single day, and they have been practically since 1948.
No. 4 days after Israel was created, who attacked Israel? Did Israel attack the Arab nations?
Yes.
Did Israel, this Did Israel attack the Arab nation?
The Zionist terrorists have been attacking the people that they invaded
Let me just go back. When Israel, 4 days after Israel, by the way, the Nakba was because they knew, the United Nations knew they were going to create the state of Israel, and they were going to split it. They split it, okay? They gave the West Bank to the Arabs, and they gave the rest of it to Israel. They knew that, and what happened, you had this population transfer, because people wanted to be under their like kind. Well, once the Arabs attacked Israel, 4 days after it was created, and they defeated completely Egypt, Syria, Jordan, all of them, defeated them, they took over the West Bank. So Israel extended its border to the Jordan River. Simple.
It doesn't have any borders, actually. Israel is one of the few nations on earth that refuses to define its borders.
Israel has a border. Of course it has a border.
No, but they don't accept it. They don't have any officially defined borders.
Hamas is nothing. It's an Islamic terrorist organization.
Rich, let me ask you a question, Rich. Is Israel for you a religious experience?
Is it something to do with
your religion?
You know, along with the Taliban.
Can you hear me?
Dr. Swear, okay, let me just ask you if you're capable of writing any articles yourself, because my real issue with you is not so much that you have kind of very superficially internalized the lies of Zionist propaganda and you're doing a moderately acceptable job of sort of regurgitating those lies. But my real issue with you is that you're on, you know, you have a rubric at Veterans Today where I'm a senior editor. And I don't think you should have that rubric unless you produce purely original material. Now, you know, if you had something extraordinary that was not published anywhere else and you wanted to post that in your rubric, that would be okay. I do that once in a while. But basically what your rubric is for you to write original articles with insights that are different from what everybody else has, showing off your vast erudition about this and other subjects, right, of course. And so you need to be writing your own original articles and posting there. But what I've seen at your rubric are these cut and paste jobs where you just find the dumbest Zionist propaganda aimed at low IQ people. I mean, you have a doctorate, and this is, you know, Pam Geller writes for people of average about 80 IQ, and you're cutting and pasting her ridiculous pablum, you know, her baby talk stuff, and pasting it into Veterans Today, which is a waste of that website. I'm going to request that John either cut off your rubric or demand that you only post original material. That is, it either has to be by you, or it has to be something that's only published exclusive or at least first published at Veterans Today. No more pablum, moronic Zionist propaganda pablum from secondhand sources.
Let me respond to that. Because when I first started writing, and I was given the great opportunity by Johnny to begin writing for VT Foreign Policy, uncensored foreign policy, okay? Uncensored is part of the word. I began to publish some columns that were written by other people, and they gave me permission to republish it. I was told not to do that anymore, only to write what I had written. So there were a few articles that I initially published because I did not know the rules of the game. So now that I know the rules of the game, I only publish articles that were written by me. Now, right. I may quote other websites, or I may quote other individuals, as you do, which is not a problem. Now, I think the major difference between you and I, and I say this respectfully, is that my experiences are based on 23 years in the United States military. Okay. I served with people of all races, creeds, and colors, all nationalities. We had Jews, we had Christians, we had Muslims, we had everybody in the military. Okay. And I fought in a war. Have you ever fought in a war, an actual war where people were trying to kill you?
No, I came on board at Veterans Today as the token civilian. So I've worked with some of these military intelligence types.
I appreciate that. I appreciate what you do for the veterans. God bless you. I saw that. Johnny's involved in that. God bless you. You and Johnny. We need to take care of our veterans, okay? Look, and so what and that's what I do. Look, I was the chairman of the Veterans Commission in my county for 10 years. And I brought a national cemetery to my county in Florida. So I'm very proud of that.
Would you be interested in meeting some veterans in Florida that I know? These are people who...
We might have. We might have. Yeah, who do you... Just tell me who you know.
I know some Veterans for Peace in Florida who work on the issue of the survivors of the USS Liberty. Have you ever studied what happened to the USS Liberty?
I'm not sure which... Is that the one that was captured by the North Koreans? No.
No, the USS Liberty was an unarmed American spy ship that was sent off the coast of Gaza, actually, off the coast of occupied Palestine in June 1967 by President Johnson, and it was attacked by Israel. They killed 34 American sailors on that unarmed spy ship and injured another 171. They wanted to put all 400 or so American sailors on the bottom. And this was a false flag attempt that failed because the survivors of the Liberty, horribly wounded, were able to patch together makeshift communications equipment and get out the story that they were being attacked by Israel. And had they not done that, they would have gone to the bottom and the newspapers would have all said that Egypt sank that ship and the United States would have attacked Egypt. It would have joined the 1967 war on the side of Israel. And there were actually American bombers that had been launched. And they barely, they were approaching the no recall zone with orders probably to drop nuclear weapons actually on the Russian installations in Egypt. And they were called back when it became clear that the survivors of the Liberty had managed to get out that message that their real attackers were in fact Israelis. The survivors were told that their family members would be killed if they talked about this, and so it was kept covered up for decades, and only decades later did they start talking.
Okay, that's an interesting story. I actually work with people. There was another ship. There was a spy ship that was captured by the North Koreans. The Pueblo, yes. And I worked with those people who were eventually released, thank God. And what they want to do is they want to get the Pueblo back because it's on display in North Korea. And they wanted to get the ship back and refurbish it and create a memorial to that incident where the North Koreans, there are sad things that happen everywhere, Doctor, and some things are bad.
Right, Dr. Sawyer, let me just briefly say, can you just imagine this attack, a deliberate Israeli attack on this U.S. ship with an attempt to kill 300 people and blame it on another country, and that got covered up all these years. Who does that tell you is in charge of our media that all got covered up?
Well, what I'm concerned about right now, Doctor, actually, what I'm concerned about right now is there is going to be, matter of fact, I just posted an article, which I'm not allowed to post on your website because it's written by an Arab journalist, and it has to be my original work, but he just compared what Hamas did in this operation to what Al-Qaeda did to 9/11.
Arab journalist. He's obviously Israeli.
The same mistake. He's an Arab.
Israel pays lots of Arabs to write their stuff.
No. He's an Arab journalist. Well, fine. You can say whatever you want. But all I'm telling you is that he wrote an article, and the article compares what Hamas did to what Al-Qaeda did on 9/11. And it's true, because what's happening is you're seeing a blowback a tremendous blowback. Now, are you having demonstrations? Yes. But where are those demonstrations centered? In those countries, in those areas like London, that has allowed hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Muslims into their country. So what? That's how you have 100,000 people who are marching for Hamas under a flag that doesn't exist.
Isn't that great? Yeah, I mean, to me, it means that the West isn't quite as hopeless as I thought.
But see, that's the threat. That's the internal threat. Those 100,000 people, each one of them, is a potential threat. Is another 9/11 waiting to happen?
Dr. Swear, have you ever actually investigated 9/11? But hang on just a second. You know, Veterans Today was basically created by a hornet's nest of angry veterans. And we're talking very high level people, like people that Gordon Duff was central. He's a legend in the black ops business. He was a Marine Corps CIA type, doing all sorts of stuff, a lot of which is still classified. Dr. Alan Zabrowski was head of strategic studies at the U.S. Army War College. He's a PhD strategic studies guy.
Well, the whole purpose of Veterans Today.
Stop. You got to know what kind of publication you're writing for. The whole purpose of Veterans Today was it was the leading edge of telling the truth about 9/11. And the truth about 9/11 is that Israel did it. Israel did 9/11. There's no such thing as Al Qaeda. Al Qaeda was a cat's paw for Western intelligence services. Israel blew up the Twin Towers in controlled demolitions, and the top people in our military and intelligence know that, and some of them don't like it, and that's why they created Veterans Today.
Let me just say this. During my 23-year Army career, and I retired as an Army Lieutenant Colonel, at one point in my career, I was working at, I was stationed at Fort Monroe, Virginia, with the Training and Doctrine Command. I personally was responsible for the anti-terrorism and terrorism counteraction doctrine for the United States Army. I sat on the presidential committee formed by President Ronald Reagan that came up with the policy, we will not negotiate with terrorists. Okay, I was in the 7th Special Forces Group. I understand terrorism. I understand the bad guys.
You understand Israel blew up the Twin Towers?
No.
What do you think happened to Building 7, Doctor? What happened to Building 7?
That is a myth. Now,
what happened to Building 7?
I lived when I was at Fort Bragg. I've been stationed at Fort Bragg twice. Second time there, I lived in a duplex, and the major who lived right next to me in the duplex was Cuban. He was part of the Bay of Pigs invasion, okay?
Did he help kill Kennedy?
No. The CIA helped kill Kennedy.
That's right. With help from some of their anti-Castro Cubans.
No, not the anti-Castro forces, no. The anti-Castro, what happened was, his family sent a tractor to Cuba and got his release. The United States Army at that time had a policy, if you were part of the Bay of Pigs and you wanted to join the military, you were allowed to do that. And many of them were made officers. And why were they officers? Because they were in special forces. They were, for example, my friend, just like I was in the 7th group, my friend who lived as my neighbor was fluent in Spanish, and because 7th Special Forces Group is Central and South America. That's our focus, 7th and Central and South America. As a matter of fact, when I was in the 7th group, one of the B team commanders actually led the team, an A team, in Bolivia when the Bolivians captured Che Guevara. And the Bolivians executed him. It was not on American orders. The Bolivians made the decision to execute Che Guevara. Why was Che Guevara in Bolivia?
Could be.
Why was Che Guevara in Bolivia? Because Castro and the Russians got pissed off at him. They sent him to Bolivia. Because why? Because he was destroying the economy. He was the minister of finance in Cuba, and he was destroying the economy. The Russians were so pissed off at Che Guevara, who wasn't even Cuban. He's an Argentinian. They said, get his ass out of there. And so Castro sent him to, by the way, have you ever been to Cuba?
No, not yet. I wouldn't mind someday.
Well, I have been there. Let me just say this about Cuba. Just like the people that live in Gaza, what I have always found, and I've been all over the place, doctor. I've been, you know, almost everywhere you can think of. I spent time in Cuba. My son was kind enough to pay for it all. But the Cuban people are wonderful. Their government sucks.
That's Americans are like that too, for the most part.
Well, that's right. Right now, I live in America, and my government sucks. Joseph Robinette Biden sucks.
I agree completely.
I mean, big time, okay?
Yeah. No question.
Now, I found the same thing. Look, you know, whenever I travel somewhere, look, the Vietnamese people are wonderful. It's their government that sucks. The Chinese people. I know a lot of Chinese people. The Chinese people are wonderful. Their government sucks. North Korean people are wonderful, sadly starving, poor, penniless, dependent on the government, but they're wonderful. The government sucks. Gaza, the people in Gaza, I believe, and I've never been to Gaza. It wasn't, you know, I wasn't in Gaza. We never went to Gaza. I believed in my heart and soul, in all my heart and soul, as a Zionist, as whatever you want to call me, Christian, actually Catholic, I'm Roman Catholic, but...
Really? I'm surprised. I had you pegged as a fundamentalist, Baptist or something.
No. I'm Roman Catholic. There's a long story to that. But I believe that the people of Gaza are really wonderful people. Their government sucks.
So maybe Israel should stop burying them in rubble.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here. My father was going to become a priest. Until something happened on December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. My father left the seminary and joined the Army Air Corps and spent the entire time in the Army Air Corps in the Pacific Theater in bombers. Not exactly the most pleasant thing. Came home, fell in love with my mother, and I have two brothers, so God bless you. Doctor, God bless you, Kevin. I appreciate you being here. Johnny, I really want to thank you for this opportunity.
Okay. Dr. Swear, I apologize for harsh words. I don't think you're a bad person. Just probably misguided, just like you probably think I am. So.
No, I know. I don't think you're a bad person. I think you're passionate. You're passionate about what you believe, just like I'm passionate about what I believe, Dr. Kevin.
Especially at this moment right now, you know, the rate of the number of people being just murdered,
I don't want to see anyone. The last person that wants to go to war is a soldier, doctor. The very last person I was on that committee, that presidential committee, all right? And we had a lot of academics on that. We had some academics on that committee, all right? And they were warmongers. The academics were warmongers. The soldiers, myself, the Air Force representative, the Navy representative. The last thing we wanted was war. No one wants war, doctor. I don't want to see anybody's bloodshed. I don't want to see Arab bloodshed. I don't want to see Israeli bloodshed. I don't want to see Christian bloodshed. I don't want to see Yazidi bloodshed. I don't want to see Pakistani bloodshed. I don't want to see anybody's bloodshed. The wonderful thing that Johnny did and the VT did, they came up with this wonderful idea of getting everybody to come together. Well, it almost was like, and I wrote, thank you so much, Johnny, for letting me get my input. I wrote a little short blurb that the Abraham Accords were the first step in getting what Johnny and we all want.
We should debate that on a different show, probably.
Well, yeah, we could probably debate that.
Yeah, we're getting closer to the end of the show, guys.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, I don't want to keep you.
We're actually over the hour, so, but I appreciate it. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on VT Radio. These are contentious times. War is never pretty. A lot of people are getting hurt on both sides. No one's winning that. And all we can do is try our best to talk this out the best we can, even if we disagree on the positions on that. Dr. Swire, thank you for being on our show. Of course, Dr. Kevin Barrett, as always, it's much appreciated. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
If you enjoyed this presentation, hit the like button now. Also, share it with your friends. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode.
VT approves this message.